From News Talk 580 1059 KMJ, this is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition. Now, here's your host, Mark Kepler.
Everyone acknowledges that California's higher education system has been critical to the state's past economic progress. And a college education is becoming even more important as, increasingly, jobs in the new knowledge-based economy require a college degree. The problem for California is that there's a growing gap between the number of college graduates and the state's workforce needs. Can California's higher education system keep pace with the economy's ever-increasing demand for college graduates? We'll ask Sarah Bowen, a labor economist with the nonpartisan Public Policy Institute of California. Flunking college, California's looming higher ed skills gap.
We'll also hear from Debbie Young, head of the Career Development Center at Fresno State, Professor Jeffrey Michael, director of the Center for Business and Policy Research at the University of the Pacific, and Garl Kalfayan, Dean of the School of Business and Public Administration at Cal State Bakersfield.
Additional funding for the Matty Report made possible by a grant from the wonderful company, harvesting health and happiness around the world, and by Kaiser Permanente. Thrive from the California Channel at the State Capitol and the Matty Institute. It's the Matty Report with Executive Director of the Matty Institute, Mark Kepler.
So will California run out of college graduates? That's the question posed in a recent Public Policy Institute of California study on the state's workforce skills gap authored by our guest, Sarah Bowen, a labor economist with the PPIC. Welcome.
Thank you.
So let's get right to the bottom line. How big will the workforce gap be in 2030 if current trends in the labor market persist?
We estimate that if current trends persist, we'll be about 1.1 million college graduates short by 2030. That's what we refer to as the workforce skills gap. Mm-hmm. And that means that our workforce will be demanding, we estimate 38% of the workforce be college graduates, but only 33% of our population will have a college credential
that
by then.
5% gap is the 1.1 million.
Exactly.
Are there certain occupations in the workforce skills gap that are going to be more acutely affected?
So we didn't specifically estimate the gap within occupations. That would be another kind of methodological exercise. But we did look at how the trend for demanding college graduates varies across occupations, and it's pretty interesting. Even in occupations where you think, it's not really a draw for many college graduates, the employers have been demanding more and more college graduates, even in those occupations over the last few decades.
Yeah, I would guess technology is driving that to some extent.
Exactly.
Whatever. So how did you exactly arrive at your projection?
So our projections are based on kind of two main sets of things. One is kind of where jobs are likely to go by 2030, and then the second is where our population is headed by 2030. And we use official projections from the Department of Finance in California and the Employment Development Department in California to kind of as our baseline. And then, we're really interested in kind of the educational component of the jobs and population in 2030. So we add on to those official estimates, those official projections, kind of composition of education of both jobs and the workforce.
It begs the question, why 2030?
Well, part of that is just where the data, allows us to go. And the other issue is it's hard to project long term. And so we don't want to go too far out where we're really kind of making more guesses than we need to.
It kind of fits in, I'm guessing, though, also to the role of the retiring baby boom generation. That's playing a role in the numbers. And there are a large group that will be retired by 2030, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. And that's one of the major demographic changes that's kind of driving these skills gap estimates. And that's because the retiring baby boomers or near retiring baby boomers are the most educated cohort in our workforce today. It's kind of surprising. Workers aged, I think, 60 to 64 are on average more educated. More of them have a college degree than any other segment of the workforce today, even the young entrants of the labor market.
So there was one generation called the greatest generation, and we're going to call this the pretty good generation. Distinguish the two. What about highly educated immigrants? Are they helping us close the gap?
Yeah, they are. In fact, the skills gap would be, and projections of it would be much larger if we didn't have highly skilled immigrants coming to California. They make up about a third of our workforce today, a third of those with college degrees.
That's a pretty sizable number.
Absolutely. I just don't think that increasing highly educated immigrants will be able to close the gap, because it would be just such a substantial increase from where we are today.
Are they in just the technology sector, or are they pretty much spread across all sectors?
They're quite spread across. I mean, certainly some occupations and industries are, you know, a big draw for highly skilled immigrants. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's also interesting that the federal government has immigration quotas. And I think I read in your report that you're going to have to increase immigrants coming in and doing these jobs college educated by three times the amounts that you're bringing currently in. It's only going up by 10%, I guess, a year, and you need three times that to really close the gap. So pretty significant difference.
Yeah.
Now, your also projections rely on the assumption that current trends and economic conditions are going to continue. Have you considered different possible scenarios?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, projecting the economy is kind of fraught with error. And so there's inherent uncertainty around our projections. You know, we don't know when the next boom or bust is going to be, or what kind of new technologies might emerge. So, you know, there's, you know, I want to emphasize that our skills gap estimates are really a window into what the workforce would look like if certain trends continue. And I think that's useful in that respect, just to see where our trajectory will take us. We do some kind of, you know, alternate scenarios just to make sure that our results are not, you know, sensitive to some decisions that we make on the research side. And, you know, so the estimate could range up and down by a couple hundred thousand. But in all the scenarios that we check, there's always a skills gap that we estimate.
Okay. Well, thank you for giving us that overview of this looming shortage of college grads in California. So what is the value of a college degree? Is it getting higher? That conversation in a moment. This is the Maddie Report. Welcome. So we're talking about the demand for college-educated workers. Will it increase? What effect is that going to have? With our guest, Sarah Bone, who's a labor economist with the Nonpartisan Public Policy Institute of California and author of a recent report outlining the state's future needs for college graduates. So we just went through the Great Recession. How did that alter the job landscape going forward?
Yeah, as we all know, you know, employment spiked in the recession. We lost over 1 million jobs. Only by last year did the state recover all the jobs that it lost during the recession. And even that's not really enough to get everybody back to work, as well as employ new people that are entering the labor force. So we still have an unemployment rate that's higher than it was before the recession started, about 6%. And if you look at the workers who are, you know, working part-time when they'd rather be full-time, or, you know, they kind of stopped looking for work because they're discouraged, you know, that's on the order of 15% of the workforce. So, you know, we still have a ways to go. Although during the recession, you know, we really saw a difference between the experience according to how much education you had. So right now, the average worker with a bachelor's degree or higher is, you know, way more likely to be employed than somebody with a high school diploma or less, on the order of, you know, three times less likely.
Yeah, I remember reading way back in the day, when I was in graduate school, Michael Piori, I think was from MIT, was talking about the bifurcated labor market, right?
Right.
The highly skilled versus not so highly skilled, and it appears that that's only getting more true over time.
Yeah.
But, you know, you do hear a lot of reports about college-educated workers working in minimum wage jobs. Is that just anecdotal, or is that really happening?
I think there certainly will always be those examples because, you know, regardless of what education credential you have, you know, some workers are unemployed of every sort across all kinds of demographic and economic kind of characteristics.
Well, what about the value of a college degree? Is it increasing, decreasing, staying about the same?
Yeah, that's something that we looked at because we were concerned that, you know, maybe we're just kind of overeducated as a workforce, or, you know, we have an oversupply of college-educated workers. And so what we did was look at kind of what's the premium that employers pay to those with a bachelor's degree or more. And that seems to be growing. It's been growing for decades, and it's still growing even in the last decade or so. So the average college graduate earns about 70% more than somebody who's otherwise similar but just has a high school diploma. And so that's a premium, and that's been increasing. And so we think that's an indication of real kind of economic demand, because why would employers pay more to more highly educated workers unless they were
I do read your reports. And so when I read your report, yeah, it is increasing. It was 60% back in 2005. It's now 70%.
Right.
So it's still going up. So parents, when they tell their kids, you really ought to go to college, that's actually pretty good advice.
It seems like college is, you know, earns more now than ever.
Of course, though, there are parents that say, well, you know, you want you to be a business major, an engineering major, not, you know, an English major. Do degrees matter? I mean, in terms of what you get your degree in, does that matter in terms of pay?
Absolutely. I mean, your degree and then the field that you end up working in mm-hmm. can make a big difference in what your pay is and what your economic opportunities are. So in previous PPIC work, my colleagues have looked at, you know, what are kind of the lifetime returns to mm-hmm. different college majors, and it ranges quite a lot, you know, up in the millions range for those with engineering degrees and the like.
Engineering is a good degree. Okay.
it seems to be, at least on average. Mm-hmm. But even for kind of the lower paying jobs, the returns to a college degree still are positive.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
So, I mean, it seems like over a lifetime, it's certainly a good investment.
It appears that.
And I always tell students, you know, you got to think about if you're going to go to college and get your degree, where do you want to put that money? Do you want to invest that money in the stock market or in yourself? Hmm. And I try to convince them that I think I've got the numbers now to say that you should invest in yourself. That's $1 million return.
It's quite a nice return.
Yeah, right. So let's talk about future jobs. One thing you talk about in your report was this bifurcation of California's occupational mix. What exactly do you mean by that, and what are the implications for wage inequality?
So we look at where jobs are likely to grow over the next, you know, 15 years through 2030. And the fastest growing jobs in California are likely to be at either end of kind of the skill and wage spectrum. So you see examples of, you know, like in computer science, engineering, those jobs are actually going to become more and more plentiful, and they pay well. And at the same time, other fast-growing jobs are in kind of low-end service sectors in food preparation, in jobs like home health aides related mm-hmm. to that baby boom retiring and aging kind of trend. And so when we look at those opportunities and how they're growing at both ends of the spectrum, you know, that polarization we sometimes refer to as bifurcation.
And that's an economic inequality because at the lower end, at the higher end, but what I'm not hearing you say is the middle, not so much.
Right.
The growth isn't there.
Traditional middle income jobs mm-hmm. have clearly disappeared. I think there's some new middle income jobs that are emerging, like in healthcare technology and you know, some kind of management of service sectors that are growing so fast. There are some emerging new middle-income jobs.
Yeah, I want to ask you about, you know, there's some, when you look at your charts, you've got some specific organizational categories where you expect a high demand for highly educated. What are some of those? Can you talk about some of those a little bit?
Sure. I mean, it was really interesting for us when we looked at kind of detailed occupations and what the demand for education is. Even in jobs that are not traditionally thought of as jobs for college-educated workers, like in food preparation, in, you know, office support. Even in those occupations, the demand for education, for specifically college degrees, has been growing. And so that's part of what's behind our projection that we're going to need more and more college-educated workers through 2030. And it doesn't appear that the recession really changed kind of the mix of occupations in California. But what we're seeing is just a continuing of the trend of what we refer to as upskilling. So the need for college degrees, even within, you know, kind of not traditionally college jobs.
So it's good to hear that college grads get this wage premium. So when we come back, what are the implications of all these trends? That conversation in a moment. This is the Maddie Report. So what will the state's future workforce look like? We're speaking with Sarah Bone, a labor economist with the Nonpartisan Public Policy Institute of California. So how will population growth rates and the labor force growth rates change in the next 15 years?
Our population is projected to continue to grow, but at actually a slower rate than historically, so about 1% per year. Okay. And that means our labor force will grow more slowly as well. And part of that is because we have this large baby boom retiring group of workers. And that group, you know, the population in California aged 60 and over is going to grow 40% or on that order compared to kind of the working age population, which will grow about 5%.
Much smaller. The share of adults in the workforce with a college degree, is that going to be increasing, decreasing, or staying the same?
That will be increasing, but just slightly. And that's a bit different than in the past. It's also coming from the baby boom retiring. It's the most educated cohort in our workforce. And as they leave, and they're not replaced by, you know, as educated workers on the whole, we'll see kind of a much slower growth in the average education level of our workforce.
But that's different, isn't it? It seemed like in the past, every generation was slightly more educated than the previous one. So this generational change going on now, not the same?
It's not the same. And it has to do with the fact that so many baby boomers obtained a college degree. And that's actually way different than in the past. So historically, the retiring kind of group of workers from our labor force was much less educated than those entering it. And that's just not true.
Also, one of the things I've read in terms of demographics, there are certain groups that are more likely to go to college and those groups that aren't as likely to go to college. And the population groups that are growing are those groups that traditionally don't go to college as much in terms of percentages.
Exactly. And there's more first-time college goers of the new kind of demographic groups that are kind of our young workforce.
Right. You know, we talked earlier about immigrants and, you know, their impact on closing the skills gap. But what about migrants from other states? I mean,
right.
California's always been this draw, great weather, you know, lots to do, great universities.
Right.
What about migrants coming in from other states? Are they helping us close the skills gap?
They are. Right now, our workforce is about a third. Our college-educated workforce, I should say, is about a third born in California, a third migrating from other states, and a third coming in from overseas. But, you know, that relationship appears to be trending in new kind of ways. So, you know, we've historically had actually more workers, college-educated workers, coming from other states than today. And so it seems that we're going to need to kind of grow from within the supply of college workers going forward. I think one of the major factors is, yes, California offers a lot, and there is still, you know, great opportunities in terms of wages and industries to work in, but we now have you know, housing costs that keep going up, and we have more competition from other states who, you know, also have growing industries with, you know, great job opportunities for college-educated workers. There's more competition, I think, for college-educated workers throughout the U.S.
So you're saying basically that we're going to have to rely more on California residents, grow our own, as you say, to really meet this workforce skills gap in higher education.
It seems that's the way that we're trending, and I think that suggests a really important role for our public institutions of higher education and actually all of our education institutions down to, you know, the K-12 level, just to ensure that, you know, we're educating that skilled workforce that has just long been a draw to the state for businesses and for other workers.
Well, it's interesting because it sounds like sometimes the public policy is counterintuitive to that, because if you're increasing tuition at a time when you really need more college graduates, that's probably not the right way to go about it.
Especially if you're not increasing financial aid and other kind of outreach to students to make sure that they attend college and can afford to attend college at the same time.
Yeah. Okay. So clearly population changes are going to increase the importance of California's higher education system.
I believe so.
Okay. So can California's colleges and universities find a way to solve that problem? That conversation in a moment. This is the Maddie Report. So what are the key strategies to increase the number of college graduates in California? We're talking with Sarah Bowen, who's an expert with the PPIC. She recently co-authored a report entitled, Will California Run Out of College Graduates? So you're projecting, we talked earlier, about a million-plus shortfall in college-educated workers by 2030. So before we get into, you know, employer needs, about society generally, you know, what are some of the other benefits of a highly educated workforce?
Our workforce in California, with its, you know, education levels, has long been a draw for businesses here, you know, aside from the other things that California offers. But it's been an, you know, engine of growth, I think, for the state. And if employers can't find enough highly educated workers in California or recruit them to come here, then, you know, they may locate elsewhere. They might operate less efficiently or find a machine that can replace a job. All kinds of things that might lead to overall, you know, less economic development for California.
But as a society, even beyond economic development, as a society, don't we want more college-educated graduates?
Well, I would suggest that more educated graduates and a thriving economy is good for everybody.
Because you know, you're saying that unemployment rates are lower and wages are higher, so that means less demand on social services,
right.
Higher taxes.
Right.
And I assume, I would hope, that if you're educated, also more informed citizens.
Right.
We'd like to believe.
All of these great things that education leads to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you think of, you know, workers and the opportunities that they have, you know, the larger the skills gap, kind of the bigger the divide potentially between those that have education and that don't could become.
Okay. So closing the skills gap is going to require some movement in a number of different areas. One thing you talk about in your report is improving access. So how would you go about improving access to higher education for Californians?
So the key is improving kind of the trajectory of education that we're on. And that means getting more students to complete high school ready to go to college, and then go to college and finish. And so there's, you know, a lot of steps along that pipeline, you know, in terms of making sure that students have access to college. Part of that is just making sure that there's room for them at our universities.
You know, it's interesting. I was literally reading a newspaper article today, and I won't name the school district because it's a little embarrassing, but a major school district in California, only 2% of their students, when they graduate, were college ready.
Wow.
So that's a pretty low number.
Pretty low. I mean, overall in California, you know, about 60% of high school graduates go to college within a year. Mm-hmm. But that only puts us kind of average nationwide. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of room to improve on that kind of access front.
And a lot of students, when they go to college, a lot of Californians are going to community college.
Right.
And so is that a problem in terms of getting a college degree, either an associate's degree, community college degree, or a bachelor's degree?
Right.
Are those students more likely or less likely to stay in school?
Well, our community colleges are wonderful because they are kind of an open access institution and really brings a lot of students into college. I think, you know, we struggle with completion rates, right, ensuring that students who enter are able to complete some kind of certificate, you know, a high-valued career technical certificate or an associate's degree or just to transfer.
And what I've read is that's a bit of a problem at the community college level of the different systems, community college, CSU or UC. Community colleges, those students are the least likely to end up with a degree.
Yeah, that's what the data will tell you. And in fact, though, even at you know, the University of California system, I think it's around 60% of students finish on time. At the CSUs, a smaller fraction, about 20% finish on time. And
That's the 4-year on time. It used to be, of course, when I was growing up, yeah, everybody went to school for 4 years. Today, it's like 6 years if you completed it all. You know, another suggestion you had was to improve the completion and time to degree. So what needs to be done there to kind of improve the situation for higher education?
Well, the idea is that, you know, if you could improve time to degree, that actually increases the number of seats for students at our universities. And so kind of improving both that and the completion rate.
So stopping the students from changing their degree every, you know, their major every year, because then they have to get all these new credits, right? That would actually save a lot of time.
That could save a lot of time. I think there's a lot of, you know, there are many efforts on this front going on across our education system in California, and that's kind of good news that, you know, that people are paying attention to some of the barriers to completion and really trying to do things that will help students get through and get through faster.
You know, let's talk about this transfers, particularly from community college to the 4-year colleges. What needs to be done there, and what impact do you think that would make?
Well, transferring can be a difficult process in our system. You know, the requirements to transfer can vary across programs, across colleges, and so it can be hard for students to figure that out and to navigate. Recently, the community college and CSUs have developed what's called an associate's degree for transfer that actually articulates a specific pathway to get you through community colleges and to transfer, a guaranteed transfer to CSU. And that's become really popular with students. And I think that's just a really good example of really trying to improve on this front.
Yeah, it's interesting. Some schools, you're at a community college, you want to go to a CSU and pick the major, whatever it is, philosophy. And one school, you know, Humboldt might have one requirement, Fresno might have a different requirement,
right,
Bakersfield might have a different requirement, Ella. And so the student is like, they don't know what to take as a community college student to transfer successfully to a CSU,
right,
and they're trying to smooth that transition, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a big issue. So what about smart aid? That's another thing you talk about, being smart about the aid we do provide for students. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, getting students in the door and to complete requires that they can afford it or, you know, that they know financial aid is available to them. In fact, you know, California on this front does pretty well. The cost of college in California is lower than in other states. And in fact, many low-income students, many or most, don't pay tuition at all. But they may have to pay the other costs of attending college, fees, books, and other things.
And people don't understand the cost of textbooks, $150, $200 per class.
Right.
Very expensive.
It adds up very fast. So one thing that could be done would be for our grant programs to cover these other expenses. And part of it is just making sure that students have information about the aid that's available to them.
Well, I want to thank Sarah Bowen with the Nonpartisan Public Policy Institute for joining us. If you want to stay current with state and local politics, you can follow the Maddie Institute on Facebook, Twitter, or just log on to our website at maddieinstitute.org. This is Mark Kepler for the Maddie Report. Thanks for joining us.
The views expressed in the Maddie Report are those of the individuals participating in the program and do not necessarily reflect those of the California Channel or the Maddie Institute. If you'd like to share your thoughts about the points and opinions expressed on the Maddie Report, visit our website at maddieinstitute.org.
You're listening to the Maddie Report, Valley Views Edition on KMJ.
Up next, can the Valley grow its own college graduates? We'll hear from Debbie Young, head of the Career Development Center at Fresno State, Professor Jeffrey Michael, director of the Center for Business and Policy Research at the University of the Pacific, and Garl Kalfayan, dean of the School of Business and Public Administration at Cal State Bakersfield. Welcome back. Can the Valley's colleges meet the growing demand for college graduates? Our guests have some frontline observations on the issue. They are Debbie Young, head of Career Development Center for Fresno State. Welcome, Debbie.
Thank you.
And Professor Jeffrey Michael, director of the Center for Business and Policy Research at the University of the Pacific. Welcome, Professor Michael.
Thank you.
And finally, Dean Garl Kalfayan, who's the dean of the School of Business and Public Administration at Cal State Bakersfield. Welcome, Dean Kalfayan.
Thank you.
So, Professor Michael, let's start with you. In an earlier segment, we talked about the fact that California will have a shortage of about 1 million workers with a college degree. I'm just wondering, do you think the shortage will be more or less acute in the Valley in the next 10 to 15 years?
I don't know if it'll be more or less acute, but it's certainly an issue that we'll be facing in the Valley, like all across California. College graduates and workforce skills in general are an area that the Valley needs to improve in. And there's no such thing as having a workforce that's too high skilled. So it's an important issue for the Valley for sure, just as it is for the whole state.
Yeah, Debbie Young with Fresno State Career Development, you're dealing with this all the time. Do you see a larger need for college graduates in the Central Valley than maybe in other places?
Well, I not only work with students, but with employers as well. And I think the issue that I hear a lot at events such as career fairs, where we have a lot of employers, is the sheer volume of individuals who will be retiring because of the big swell of baby boomers retiring, and many of them in leadership positions that are college educated. And their concern is, are there enough millennials that are college educated to fill in where they're leaving in mass numbers?
Yeah, and that's one of the things we talked about in an earlier segment, that this baby boom generation is among the most educated or best educated, and the generation following isn't as educated, not as many kids going to college. I'm wondering, though, do you think our demographics in the Valley hurt us or help us? I mean, we do have a young population, which is good. But on the other hand, we do have various ethnic groups that have a lower attendance rate of college.
Right. And with that comes this group of students that are first generation that are going to college. But what we're facing at Fresno State is the sheer volume who attend Fresno State but don't graduate. So it's more of an issue of, we're at capacity at almost 24,000 students this fall, but the challenges in looking at their rates of graduation, retention and graduation, right now the rate that we're following is first-time freshmen are only graduating at about 52.4% 6 years later, and that's a concern. How will we possibly meet the demands?
That's actually gone up, though, and I know that's been a focus of President Castro at Fresno State, but the question you have, obviously, is, how do you get those greater numbers? Is it because you're doing a better job in helping them get through college, or are you lowering standards? I mean, that's a fair question to ask. Dean Kalfayan, let me ask you. You kind of have a unique perspective because you've held leadership positions both at Fresno State and now at Cal State Bakersfield. Traditionally, Valley colleges, particularly the CSUs like Stanislaus and Fresno and Bakersfield, draw from the local population. Is that still the case? Do you see Valley universities attracting more outside talent? Are they coming from outside the U.S. or from other states or from other parts of California, or still the Valley?
Well, I can't provide current information for the other two campuses, but 74% or three-quarters of CSU Bakersfield students come from Kern County. Now, I know Fresno State's going to be implementing an impaction or some type of impaction next academic year for entering freshmen and transfer students. And impaction means that campuses do not have the resources to admit all the freshmen and transfer students in their region service area. CSU Bakersfield has a total student population of 9,500, which is less than half of Fresno State's. However, we also have much smaller physical capacity and fewer faculty and staff than Fresno State. So although we're not impacted, we're experiencing increased enrollments, and considering the increased demand for students in our region, along with our minimized existing classroom and faculty capacity, I don't see the ability of our campus to accommodate a large number of students from outside our region without significant funding for infrastructure and faculty.
You know, it's interesting, Bill. The CSU recently indicated that they're going to start having students attend those CSUs that are maybe less popular, maybe up at Humboldt, other schools, to kind of make sure that we maximize the system's student potential. But let me ask you this, Dean Kalfine. Recently, there was a report in the newspaper that only 2% of Fresno Unified High School students were college ready, and that the vast majority need remedial courses when they enter college. So is that what you saw when you were at Fresno State and now what you're seeing at Cal State Bakersfield?
Well, I'm assuming you're defining not college ready as meaning entering freshmen who are required due to low test scores to take at least one remedial course in either English or math or both.
I am.
At CSU Bakersfield, 60% or almost two-thirds of our entering freshmen are required to at least take one remedial course. A significant number must take two or more. Now, the intent is for these freshmen to have entry-level competence in math and English so they can succeed. Here's the downside. The downside is that remedial courses taken in college don't count towards a student's degree. And for many students, a large portion of their first quarter or semester in college and the effort and expense does not progress them towards graduation. During this time, many freshmen get discouraged, lose confidence, and question their choice to even attend college. And as Debbie had mentioned earlier, at CSU Bakersfield, 25% of our entering freshmen leave college before their sophomore year, and another 14% leave before their junior year. That's almost 40%. If we can retain
40% of the kids coming in aren't even getting through the junior year.
First-time freshmen. If we can retain them into their junior year, almost all of them will complete college and graduate. Now, I do want to make this clear that our students are deserving and capable. In most instances, the remediation requirement is not really an indication of ability or intelligence. Given the appropriate support and encouragement in their early college years, these students can graduate and transform their lives. And this is not just talk. In October 29, 2015, edition of The Economist magazine, CSU Bakersfield ranked 10th in the country in college rankings based on added value or income of students with a CSU B degree when compared to students with the same characteristics.
Yeah, I want to stop for a second. Yeah. I saw that article, and that kind of blew people away.
Right.
CSU Bakersfield is in the top 10 in the country in terms of value added.
Right. And basically what they looked at was students with same characteristics, same background, same characteristics who attend other colleges versus attending CSU Bakersfield. What's the added value in terms of salary that they get from CSU Bakersfield versus other colleges? And so if you look at it that way, yeah, top 10, pretty exciting.
My recollection also is that Cal State Stanislaus was also ranked very high in that survey. And I'm guessing, even though Fresno wasn't in the top 10, I'm guessing that Fresno was probably pretty high as well, for the very reason that once these kids go to a Cal State, they can dramatically transform their lives.
I'll jump in and say, University of Pacific was actually very high as well. And actually, I think it's also reflects the value added. I mean, that the institutions are doing well, but actually in the Central Valley, there is a really strong return on investment from obtaining higher education.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you look at those studies, though, of college readiness, and we're talking about that 2% at Fresno Unified, and kind of a shocking number. But even a school district that has a really good reputation, as Clovis Unified, has only 33% of their students are college ready in English and only 23% in math. And that's considered actually pretty good numbers compared to like some other schools. Sanger Unified has 18% ready in English and 7% ready in math. So, you know, those are interesting numbers, to say the least. There's a lot of work that universities have to do in the Valley to kind of fill that hole. But Debbie, let me ask you this. You talk to employers all the time about the readiness of college graduates. What do employers want to see more of? Better math skills, better communication skills, what?
We're seeing a lot of requests for career readiness in terms of soft skills. Oral and written communications, hands down, comes up number one. We just had a career fair about a month ago. We had 175 employers there over 3 days, up 47% from last year.
Wow.
oral communication skills, hands down. Other skills, critical thinking skills, teamwork, collaboration, leadership, motivation, initiative, professionalism, and work ethic comes up a lot. Interesting to note, in the Valley, based on discussions with employers, when asking what does Fresno State have that other colleges in California don't have as far as our students when they graduate, is work ethic comes up a lot in a very positive way. And we ask them, so why are you recruiting specifically at Fresno State? Work ethic comes up a lot. Mm-hmm. And I attribute that to the agriculture base here.
You know, it's interesting. Actually, I'm good friends with Debbie and Dean Calfine. Mm-hmm. And Dean Calfine and I have gone back a number of years when he was teaching at Fresno. He was telling me a story about one time working in the packing sheds in Visalia. And that really convinced him, boy, college is a good idea. So let me ask you this, Dean Calfine. Are we still seeing that wage premium for college grads in California that, you know, the college grads typically enjoy, particularly in majors like computer science and, you know, and engineering? We do have the Valley's a little different, though. We don't really have those kind of manufacturing and high-tech jobs. But do we still see that wage premium?
Well, the two dominating industries in Kern County are energy and agriculture. And in a sense, these are manufacturing and production-type industries. Now, it used to mean that you could get a reasonable living having a blue-collar job that did not require a college degree. However, with advances in technology, to an extent, some of these jobs have been eliminated. And even the jobs that used to be blue-collar where you didn't need college education now require technical and analytical skills of a college graduate. So we're now seeing anything that kind of relates to the business end of energy and agriculture requiring the analytical skills of a college graduate.
No, Debbie, what are you seeing?
Well, I certainly agree with Dean Calfine and retail. The retail industry recruits tremendously at Fresno State, but they're looking for college students who have the backgrounds in accounting, finance, those types of things. We're also seeing a lot in food and beverage processing. We're seeing hospitality, tourism, education, business services, construction management. I just talked to the dean of the engineering school, and he said 100% of construction management majors get a job after graduation.
100%?
100%. Shocking.
That's a good return on investment.
Yeah.
You know you're going to get a job.
Social services, financial services, another growing field, logistics and transportation. Absolutely. Getting a college degree is needed in all these industries today.
You know, Professor Michael, you're up there at University of the Pacific. Are you seeing things similar, different? What's the demand for UOP graduates?
Well, I think the overwhelming demand is particularly in the healthcare industry. I mean, we have a strong demand for graduates across all majors, but you know, if we look at the regional economy, there's definitely a shortage of healthcare professionals, and the providers are really struggling to recruit, and the salaries are quite good. And that's our students and students at all the Valley universities do well in health majors. But there's a good return across the board to education, and that's what those studies are showing, is that the Valley economy doesn't necessarily have a tech economy, but the institutions that are scoring so well in value added just sort of shows that some of the inputs that they take in, and by traditional measures, the students by, you know, test scores and preparation may not, look like the Ivy League, but they come out the other end and are very, very successful. So it's important to send that message. That there's still a real good return on investment from education, even in the Valley that doesn't have a tech economy.
Well, you're mentioning healthcare jobs. There's a big demand for those kinds of majors. You're talking about healthcare administration, those types of degrees?
Well, I think some of the biggest demand and shortages are in nursing and skilled providers. But there's also interest in healthcare administration, certainly, coming out of our MBA program. That's just the biggest industry students place into, so we see a lot of demands for that as well.
Well, why do you think that is, specific like to UOP or the Valley, that healthcare is becoming so popular? Is that just demographics?
Well,
is that, less expensive place to live? What?
No, it's there's just demand in the population. I know part of at least in the north part of the valley too. There's a out-migration of healthcare workers to the Bay Area, and so it's one of those industries where there's a lot of opportunities here, and the local employers are sort of not only here but in the out community markets, and so that really increases the demand.
Dean Kelfine, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, two areas where we're seeing growth in the South Valley, kind of related to healthcare. One is occupational safety and health. With all the energy and production and jobs going on, there's a big push to make sure that processes are in place for occupational safety and health, and that's becoming its own. We now have a concentration in our business school. There's 80 students in that concentration. It's grown amazingly. It's been endowed by ERA and a few of the other energy companies. One other area that we see is also, as mentioned by Professor Michaels, healthcare management. So even though it's not like nursing, but it's actually managing the healthcare, and I think that's going to continue to increase because of the greater complexity and demand for healthcare services and reimbursement for them.
Yeah, and it's population's aging too. You're going to see increasing demand for healthcare. So anyway, up next, what about increasing the college graduates in the Valley? More on that conversation in a moment. This is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition.
You're listening to the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition on KMJ.
Welcome back. We're talking with Debbie Young, head of Career Development Center at Fresno State, Professor Jeff Michaels, director of the Center for Business and Policy Research at the University of the Pacific, and Garl Kalfayan, the dean of the School of Business and Public Administration at Cal State Bakersfield, about how to increase the number of qualified college graduates to meet the demand of Valley employers. So Dean Kalfayan from Bakersfield, let me ask you this. It's clear that we're going to see an increased demand in college graduates in California generally and in the Valley in particular. So what kinds of things would you like to see done to increase the number of college graduates in the Valley?
Well, I think one of the things you have to look at is what leads to success in college for students. And I've looked at many studies, and I agree with the studies that conclude that household income is probably the biggest predictor of students' academic success in college. Because low-income students tend to work substantial hours. They come from families where parents haven't graduated from college, and they have substantial family obligations, so they cannot always concentrate as much as they'd like to on college. Some statistics from CSU Bakersfield, 70% of our students are Pell Grant eligible, meaning that they come from very low-income families, and 45% are first-generation college students. I know that they need guidance and encouragement to get their degree, and both CSU Bakersfield and Fresno State have come up with many programs to support these students. I think what we need to do even a better job is to engage these students early on, as Debbie Young has said, with non-academic professional-type development activities, oftentimes referred to as soft skill development. I think if we can do that, get them engaged in our school, then I think that they're going to stay around long enough to, one, have the confidence to graduate, and two, realize that it's way in their best interest to do so.
Yeah, yeah. Debbie Young, let me ask you that same question. What would you like to see done to increase the number of college graduates?
Well, going back to what I spoke about earlier, the first generation, we're at 70-some percent of our students are first generation, and what Garo referred to is they're at risk. And we need to improve retention and graduation so we get them to college. We're at maximum capacity at Fresno State, but how do we keep them? So Fresno State has already engaged a lot of our students. We call it student success. Things like bringing students in as freshmen through our summer bridge program where they're at risk and they take a math and an English class prior to starting as a freshman. We now have a system called Grades First where we're tracking students that are at risk academically. Every college now, all eight colleges at Fresno State now have an academic advising center. Every single student is now assigned to an academic advisor, a person you know, their first and last name, who you can go to get help academically. Supplemental instruction. There's a lot of things that we're doing. We're doing them right, but we need to do it to the mass numbers of students so everyone is successful.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We also know that transferring from community college has a higher retention and graduation rate rather than students entering as first-time freshmen. So seeking community college transfers.
And we have a lot of them here. I mean, Fresno City, Clovis Community College, et cetera. Dean Calfine, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that just like Debbie had mentioned, at Fresno State, at CSU Bakersfield, we also have the Early Start program where we try to get some of the remedial or all of it done before they actually enter as freshmen. There's a special college freshman orientation course that's required of all of our freshmen to familiarize them with the college experience. And also, we have mandatory academic advising every quarter of their freshman year where they have
to. So you're on top of it.
But we need to do more.
Okay. Well, Professor Michael, what about UOP? What are you guys doing up there to increase the number of college graduates?
Well, we do a lot of the same best practices that you've discussed before for retention and engaging students early on and strong advising in particular. Speaking more generally to the Valley for increasing college graduates, certainly an important component of that is the universities we have here in the Valley. Across California, college graduates have been attracted, and there's a lot of migration going on. So we know that 18 to 24-year-olds are the that's the one age group in the North Valley where we actually have a net out-migration to the Bay Area. Every other age group, people actually migrate into the Valley. And it's this sort of college age group where we're most likely to see them move away. And so, we need not just that educational capacity here to maintain them, but we also need to develop those quality of life and economic opportunities that can both keep them here and attract young people to the Valley.
Okay. Debbie, let me ask you this. You've been a big proponent of internship programs since I've known you. You were head of an award-winning internship program at the Craig School of Business at Fresno State before you were appointed to your current position. Could internships fill that ready-to-be-employed gap that might exist among many college students?
Absolutely.
I thought you'd say that, but why?
So employers want students with college degrees, but they also want students with relevant work experience. And as Gara was saying, these students who come from, socioeconomic challenged families have to work to go to college. So many of them have part-time jobs to the tune of sometimes over 40 hours a week. I don't know how they study.
So full-time student and full-time job.
Exactly. A lot of them have two part-time jobs, which is kind of shocking. But a lot of them aren't working necessarily in the field they want to graduate in. Like if you're an accounting major, then you should be in an accounting firm. And that's where internships play in. Right. An internship is that relevant work experience employers want you to have. A study was recently done by the National Association of Colleges and Employers, and they asked employers of this list of things you want college students to have. Relevant work experience, including internships, came out higher than GPA, the major that you picked, and the college that you went to. That's pretty powerful.
I think you just won your argument. Well, let me ask you this. Dean Calfine, I want to end with this with all of you. Get your perspectives. The San Joaquin Valley is far from monolithic. Each part of the valley poses its own unique challenges and opportunities. Professor Michael was mentioning this out-migration of young people in the North Valley to the Bay Area. Actually, in the Fresno State service area, the four-county area of Fresno State, we have among the highest retention of people from our area to our school of any other CSU. So it's different. So let me start with you, Dean Calfine at Bakersfield. What are some of the unique challenges and opportunities in your part of the San Joaquin Valley?
Well, I think the main thing to realize is that student success is usually not related to their intelligence or potential. Once you realize that, our major challenge is to encourage students in our region that they, one, have the ability to attain a college degree, provide them the support, and that also to convince them that their efforts will matter and transform their lives. As far as the major opportunity is that with the right amount of encouragement, our students have shown that they can overcome these obstacles, graduate with a college degree, and add a lot of value to their life, but also it provides a valuable and productive workforce for our region.
Yeah, CSUB, remember, top 10, according to The Economist magazine.
Go Roadrunners.
There you go. So Debbie Young at Fresno State, what do you see as unique challenges and opportunities in the central part of the San Joaquin Valley?
Absolutely. So we, I think, are getting them to attend Fresno State, but we're not necessarily retaining them. So again, student success is engaging them early on, retaining them, exposing them to opportunities of all kinds, whether it's study abroad or do an internship or some class project that involves someone out in the community, and mentorships, connecting with alums. There's so many things that we can do that we not only engage them, but we help them succeed by graduating so that they are college ready. That they're career ready to go out there and fill in the gaps that our workforce is going to experience with the retiring of the baby boomers.
And you can tell why Debbie Young is the head of the Career Development Center at Fresno State. They had made a good hire there.
Dogs.
There you go. I'm going to let Professor Michael have the last word at UOP. So, Professor Michael, what are kind of some of the unique challenges and opportunities in the northern part of the San Joaquin Valley to increase the number of college graduates?
Yeah, well, certainly a huge opportunity is UC Merced. It's really a fast-growing campus up in the North Valley. It's going to add as many as 5,000 new students, you know, over the next 5 to 10 years. So that's a very exciting opportunity. And other opportunities relate to the growing integration of the region with the San Francisco Bay Area, and how to move that beyond sort of commuters and distribution hubs and to a more dynamic and more diverse array of industries that are interacting there. And also, you know, an opportunity related to the cities are growing, and we need to build some more dynamic urban environments to attract young people and to attract businesses and really have a 21st century economy.
Well, that's you bring up a whole new program on community development, mm-hmm. how communities should be designed. Mm-hmm. But we'll leave that for another day. I want to thank our guest, Garl Kalfine, the dean at the School of Business and Public Administration at Cal State Bakersfield, Debbie Young, the head of Career Development Center at Fresno State, and Professor Jeffrey Michael, the director of the Center for Business and Policy Research at the University of the Pacific. Thanks, all of you, for joining us.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Matty Report, Valley Views Edition, is a public affairs partnership between KMJ Radio, Cumulus Media, and the nonpartisan Matty Institute, providing the Valley with valuable insight and analysis on politics and important public policy issues. This is KMJ.